Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
All right, let's dive into the Word this morning. And as you know, we started on a series a few weeks ago entitled Holy Spirit, and who's the sidekick was the question that I've been putting out towards you. Now, has anybody ever gone on a vacation and had to use one of these types of things? Anybody ever remember those days? I'm not going to attempt to unfold it because you know they're a little tricky to put back together. I remember seeing many of these folded up incorrectly. But this paper roadmap can get you to a lot of different places. I remember in 1985 when my family and I, we set out on our moving adventure to travel from Newfoundland all the way over to northern British Columbia, which is where I grew up. So I call Newfoundland home, but technically I grew up in northern British Columbia in a town called Tumler Ridge. And I remember in preparation for this trip, Mom had collected maps of all of the different provinces that we would be traveling through, and she had them all stored inside the glove box. And each day, Dad would take out the map, and he would look to see what our route was going to be for that day, the destination, what our journey would entail. And this was a long time before cell phones, where you could just punch in where you want to go, and Siri would just get you to where you needed to go. It was long before the day of being able to book your vacation, or not your vacation, but your hotel. So, I mean, it was a case that every night we did not know where we were going to be staying. So it wasn't a case that we could go on and see, you know, how many stars, and what do people have to say about this particular hotel. You simply showed up, you checked to see if they had space, you paid the price, and you went into the room, and you never knew exactly what you were getting. Does anybody remember those days as well? Exactly. But this was a very long 5-day adventure across the country. I remember in the morning, Mom having to give me gravel because I always struggled with motion sickness. And this was even, you know, back then, I don't know why, but water wasn't the popular thing to drink for some reason. So I remember every morning getting my dosage of gravel with a can of Pepsi. And that's how I would wash it down. So that's how I would take my gravel every single morning. And for some reason, you know, that all that sugar in my belly the first thing in the morning seemed to help. But each day as we started out, my dad would tell us exactly what the marking point would be. So for us as kids, we longed to see the name of that town show up on the big green sign because that indicated that the day was about to end. You know, we knew, okay, it's getting close. We can now see the name. Because, I mean, some of these days we were traveling for 12 to 14 hours. So here's the thing. Picture it. A family of six riding across the country in a Ford Crown Victoria. This is the car that we actually traveled across the country, right down to the color. So just picture this. I mean, there's six of us in the family, and I was the middle child. So when it came to sleeping during the day, my youngest brother, who was a lot smaller, would be on the back window. My brother would get the seat because he was the oldest. I was the middle child, so I got the bump on the floor, you know, so we try and build it up with pillows. And then my sister always traveled in the front seat with my parents. So this is how we traveled for 5 days, over 5,000 kilometers across the country. And several times throughout the day, my mom would pull out the map and check to make sure that we were still on track. You know, she would have to determine the right route and make sure that we hadn't gone off course. You know, we didn't have Siri then to say, oh, recalculating, getting back onto your route. I mean, just last Sunday, Kyla and I took a trip down to Parksville. And we knew that when we set out, we wanted to go down Highway 19A. And so we had put in our destination. And how many times did Siri try and get us to go up to Highway 19? Because Siri keeps going to that fastest route for you. But we're thinking, no, we want to go this route. And every time we'd get past the turnoff, and then you'd see it come up, recalculating, rerouting. But for our trip across the country, we didn't have this sort of a thing, right? So, I mean, if we missed the turnoff, you had one of two options. Look to see if there's a way that you would get back to the Trans-Canada Highway somehow, or you would have to turn around, drive back, get back to the route, and then continue on. So there are days, though, when we ourselves want to be able to take the scenic route. And I wonder how many times in our life journey does Holy Spirit try and redirect us and say, no, this is not the route you should be going. I want you to go this way. But there are days when we want to go down our own path. Some days we want the quickest way to the destination. Will it still get us to our destination? Yeah. Will it have a different view? Sometimes it will. Is it always the quickest way? Not necessarily. But as I sat and I pondered this, I thought to myself, it's not always about the most scenic route. It's not about going my own way, and it's not always about getting there the quickest time. It's about taking the route that we should be taking. The route doesn't always look like what we ourselves envision. Sometimes the route changes because that's God's way of protecting you. Kyla and I, one summer, we were traveling back from visiting with her parents in Creston, BC, and we were traveling back to our home in Wetaskiwin at this time. And we decided, you know what, we always do the same route, so let's try something a little bit different. So we set out, and again, before cell phones, we looked at the map, and we knew where it is that we had to go. So we were going to travel up through Fairmont Hot Springs, and we knew that once we got to Radium Hot Springs, we had to watch for the signs that were going to be taking us to Banff, and then we would go up to Banff and then on continue on Highway 2. Well, as we're traveling along, we see all of the signs, and it says Radium Hot Springs, Golden, BC, Banff, Alberta. And we're continuing on, and we're knowing that it's going to be coming soon. So we pull into Radium Hot Springs, and because we're going to Banff, I'm thinking that because it's a popular destination, there's going to be this massive sign saying, Banff, this way. But, so we travel into Radium, we're checking out the scenery, and we're driving along, and we're going the route, and you see the next map, and you'll see right there, you know, it's 93 and 95. I mean, very simple. So we're traveling on 95, we're supposed to be getting onto 93, not realizing, so we keep driving, and we totally miss our turn, but not even realizing it. So we're driving along, and, you know, we're admiring the scenery. There was forest fires in the area, so the helicopters were getting our attention and all sorts of things, and we keep driving, and we're coming up to a green sign, and I don't really pay attention because I know that Banff is still quite a ways away. And we keep on driving, and we get past the sign, and I think to myself, I don't think I just saw Banff on that sign. Oh, no, it must be just me. We're still on the right track. So I keep going. Another half hour, we see a green sign coming up, and I say to Kyla, I said, okay, we got to check to see if we're still on the right route. We look, and we see that Golden is getting a little bit closer. And I'm thinking, do you think we missed our turnoff? No, maybe Banff is a little bit closer to Golden than what we actually think. So we keep driving, and all of a sudden, we're starting to see Golden coming into our view. And we're thinking, I think we totally missed our turnoff. And so as you can see, there's a little bit of a fork in the road. Well, we're all the way still in BC, and we're trying to get Alberta. We arrive in Golden, and we stop, and we inquire, and they're telling us that, you know, here's the highway to get you over to Banff. By this time, I'm tired. The sun is starting to go down. We realize that if we want to go, we're going to have to go up and over a pass. And this is a popular, if you travel that way, the Golden Highway is often the highway that gets shut down because of rock slides. We hunkered down for the night. We had totally missed our turnoff. So our first reaction is, well, we're here, let's just spend the night. But when we set out on our adventures, and the same is true in our own lives, we sense Holy Spirit is leading us. But just like this trip, the turnoff wasn't clearly marked. Sometimes where Holy Spirit is leading us isn't clearly marked for us. Do you always know exactly which way it is that you are to go? What do you do when you don't have that 100% clarity about the route that you're supposed to be going? How will you respond? What will be your reaction if all of a sudden you have this unexpected detour? On a road trip, where do you like to be? Do you like to be the passenger, or do you like to be the driver? I'm hearing some people saying right away, it's like, driver. I want to be the driver. See, I enjoy being the passenger. I like being that person that sits over there and helping to navigate, to make sure that the driver has the right amount of snacks, the water, you know, the music is good. Obviously, if it's me, it's going to be 80s. You know, that we're going in the right direction, that the temperature is good, and engaging in conversation to make sure that this person stays alert at all times. So that's where I like to be unless I'm traveling with Kyler Kelsey. Because then I tend to want to be over in the driver's seat because this inner backseat driver just wants to come forth. Anybody else here profess to be a poor backseat driver? I'm a backseat driver when Kelsey or Kyler tend to be behind the wheel. But through this series, I've put forth the question, who's the sidekick? Many times we look at the role that we are to play in our own lives, and we like to be in control. We like to say who. We like to say when. We like to say how much we're going to give. Even in our worship time, we love to sing that popular song, "It's All About Me, Chet." No, that's not the right song, but that's what we tend to sing, isn't it? But technically, when we read it, it says, "It's all about you." Who? Exactly, for his glory and his fame. There you go, testing you. But unfortunately, we tend to operate like it's all about us. But think about this. If I make it about me, and you're making it about you, where does Holy Spirit come into play? How do we invite Holy Spirit in? Well, we've been learning that Holy Spirit has regenerated us. We learn that it's not all about us. We've been born again. God is continuously reshaping us and making us over in better form. Last week, we learned that as believers, we have been empowered by Holy Spirit to do the work that He has called us to do. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Exactly. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Holy Spirit, our guide. As we look at Holy Spirit, our guide, here's the question that I want you to think about. Who is leading you? Who is leading the way for you? Let's pray. Father, as we continue on this morning, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open. Father, we know and we speak it out that Holy Spirit leads us. But sometimes our heart and our head are not going in the same direction. Father, this morning, I pray that you would bring us both into alignment, that our head and our heart would know that we are to be following you. We are to be led by your Holy Spirit. You are the guide in our lives. And I pray that you would continue to guide our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to start by turning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start reading at verse 12. It's going to be on the screen here for you. Romans 8, starting at 12, it says this. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Let's hit pause there for a moment. So living in accordance to the flesh means gratifying the desires of the sinful nature. If you are living in the flesh, then you have not had the transforming work of Holy Spirit in you. Once you've invited Jesus into your heart, into your soul and spirit, then you are born again. So the old person is now dead. Your spirit has been made alive. So continuing on, and it says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what's the difference between the deeds of the body and the things of the flesh? I'm so glad that you asked that question. So the deeds of the body are the things that we don't know yet that are wrong. These are the things that once we do them, Holy Spirit points it out to us and helps us to understand that this is something that is wrong, This is something that I want you to work on. This is something that I want you to change. So this is Holy Spirit shining a light on us and saying, this thing, it's time to correct it. It's time to make this change in your life. So remember a few months ago, I gave you an illustration of on our journey in Christ, we start here at letter A. And some people are way down here at letter L. Some people are at D. Some people are down here at S. The thing is that as we continue to work out our salvation, Holy Spirit reveals to us the things that need to be corrected. So Holy Spirit may have revealed something to you that He wants you to correct in your life. That doesn't give us permission to go to another person now and say, you need to change this. We're not Holy Spirit Junior. Holy Spirit will reveal it to the person when that person needs to make that change. So, for example, let's just use a real example, cell phones, right? There are individuals that I know I've had conversations with who get consumed by things on their phone, whether it's Snapchatting, whether it's Facebooking, whether it's playing games, whatever the case may be. And they spend a lot of time on this. And so there's not, you can look in here, but there's nothing in here that says thou shalt not Snapchat. Thou shalt not Facebook. However, God may reveal to you and say, listen, this is something that's consuming a lot of your time. And I'm asking you to start making that change, maybe to lay it down, to give it a break, because it's really consuming your time. And you think, oh no, God, I'm good. This doesn't consume that much time. And Holy Spirit continues to remind us and speak into our hearts, right? And show us that thing. Now, if all of a sudden Holy Spirit has revealed this to you, and then you're saying, no, I'm good, I'm going to keep doing it, that's when it becomes a sin for you. Because Holy Spirit pointed this out and said, this thing needs to be changed. But that doesn't mean that because Holy Spirit has opened your eyes, you go to somebody else and say, hey, you need to calm down on your Facebook and Snapchat. That's something that God has revealed to you. Holy Spirit will do the same for others. I don't need to point out the things for other people. Holy Spirit will point out these things. So we have the deeds of the body, but then there's the things of the flesh, which are listed in Galatians chapter 5. These are the things that we know are sins before we even do them. So there's a whole list of items that are there. It's important to realize that these are not things that we do by accident. When we do them, we are deliberate. Purpose in our heart that we are going to do them. So items such as adultery, fornication, jealousy, idolatry, selfish ambitions, heresy, drunkenness. Galatians 5 will give you the whole list. These are things that you're not walking along and then all of a sudden saying, oops, I just committed adultery by accident. Oops, I just lied by accident. Those are sins of the flesh. These are things that we deliberately do. But spending too much time on Facebook is not necessarily a sin unless Holy Spirit has said it to you. So those are the deeds of the flesh, and these are the sinful things, the things of the flesh that we just listed. So the deeds of the body, the sins of the flesh. Does that make sense? So we don't commit these sins by accident. So continuing on, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There it is, led by the Spirit of God. Who is your guide? Who is leading you? If you are the guide, if you are making the decisions, you are not being led by the Spirit of God. You are being led by the flesh. And the flesh will lead you to gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, those sins that were just listed. Continuing on, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. When we read in John 14 that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, he is preparing heaven. He says, so that where I am in heaven, there you will be also. This is a place for those who are in relationship with Jesus. Those who have been born again. Those who are the children of God. Eternity with God is our inheritance. Heaven will be our new home. But did you notice that this passage in Romans, how it closed out? It says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Jesus suffered the most brutal death. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the Son of God, had to endure all of this suffering. So what does that tell me? It tells me what I read in Scripture. It says, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will face trials. In this world, it will not be easy. In this world, you will have struggles. But, capital B-U-T, take heart. Why? Exactly. I have overcome the world. He didn't promise that we would be exempt. We would still have sufferings here on this earth. But he has overcome. The victory has already been won. So whatever it is that we may face, we realize that God gives us the strength to persevere. Do you believe that this morning? So as we continue to be led by Holy Spirit, as we allow Holy Spirit to be our guide, we will persevere. Whatever it is that God has allowed to be in front of us, he will give us the strength to walk through it. He will be with us. He is our guide. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Holy Spirit, our guide, will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So who is Holy Spirit listening to? God. Who is Jesus listening to? God. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. But Chad, I don't always know how it is that I'm supposed to pray. You say that Holy Spirit will be our guide. Sometimes I just don't know how to pray or what to even ask for. So when a friend asks me to pray for them, I don't always know what to pray, but I hold on to what Romans 8:26 says, and it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Holy Spirit will guide you. Holy Spirit already knows what's going on. Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf. That doesn't mean that we simply say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll leave this to you. You just go and pray. You just do what you need to do because you know how it is that I'm supposed to be praying. And I'm just going to continue on with my day. We remain in the presence of God, listening to God's voice and following God's guidance. We stay there. We may not know ourselves how to pray, but Holy Spirit is praying for us and we're listening to what God is speaking into our hearts. The question is, do we take the time to simply sit and listen, to be guided, to know where it is that we're supposed to be going? When we walk into unfamiliar territory, it's good to have a guide. It's nice to connect with somebody that knows the area. It's important to be the sidekick and learn. So no matter where it is that we are going, you may not know. It might be unfamiliar territory with you, but you know that you've got Holy Spirit there to guide you. Do you believe that? Are you being led by Holy Spirit? Yeah. Amen. When we allow ourselves to be guided and we become the sidekick, we allow ourselves to be led. Let's start with a very simple question. Do you know where you are going? This isn't a question that we tend to ask ourselves very often. What is it that you know that God has called you to do? For some of you right here this morning, you are in the midst of that sweet spot. God has called you to a particular profession that you are in. He's called you to that parental role that He wants you in. He's provided that leadership opportunity that you have been praying for. When we know where it is that we're going, it's so much easier to stay on course. When we don't know where we're going, we tend to rabbit trail. It's not as easy to stay on course because we keep wondering, this looks good, and we go around and we have no idea where we're going. But we know that there's obviously some sort of a purpose for each of these tasks. When we know where we're going, it's easier to say no to those things that would throw us off course. So when we know the vision that God has for our lives and the direction that He is leading us, it actually frees us up to say with confidence, yes or no. When an individual comes along and asks you to do something, you are able to do a quick evaluation, and you're able to determine if this is in alignment with where God is leading you, and you're able to say yes or no. If it's not lining up, you just simply say, at this time, I'm going to decline. If you know that this item is a distraction, you have permission to say no. We read in our passage that the sons of God are led by God. I will ask again, do you know where you are going? Are you being led by God? I'm not sure about you, but it seems that every single time I decide that I'm going to sit down and do some studying in the Word, do my devotionals, what happens? Distraction after distraction after distraction. How many people have tried to have those quiet times, and it seems like as soon as you find that place to hide away, the kids seem to find you. And they come and they start distracting you. Or you start having all of these thoughts about things that you could be doing. When you know where you are going, you're able to recognize the distractions immediately and silence them. When you don't have the clarity of the direction you are going, you tend to wander around lost. You have all of these mirages pop up. These things that pop up that you think are of God, or opportunities that, I wonder if that's been put there by God. However, you quickly realize these are simply distractions. These are here to throw me off course. Do you take the time to discern, to listen to God's voice, to allow Holy Spirit to guide you? Not every good idea is a God-ordained idea. Do you believe that? Some things that sound really good, sometimes when you hear those things, it's like, this is just too good to be true. What do you quickly realize? It is. It's not real. When we allow ourselves to be guided and we become the sidekick, we allow ourselves to be taught. Whenever I've taken a trip that involves a tour guide, I have certain expectations. I expect that they will know the area that they're touring me around. Is that a fair thing to expect? Yeah. I expect that they will maybe know some of the fun facts about the place. I expect that they're going to keep my attention. I expect that they have toured the area themselves. You can often tell if a person knows the area based on the script or based on that they've actually been out there and they've toured the area themselves. Hence why when I visit a new place, I love to meet with the locals. I like to find about those hidden gems. And since moving here, before we moved here and we're Googling things, marketers will go and buy their space and they try and direct you to all of these places that they deem as being a gem. But then when you get here and you start talking with the locals, they tell you about the true hidden gems. And they bypass all of those marketers and then you get to see the beauty of it all. So as we navigate through our lives, who are we depending on to teach us? Do we allow Holy Spirit to be our guide? We just read in Romans 8:26 and learned that we don't always know how it is that we are supposed to pray, but Holy Spirit does. Are you allowing Holy Spirit to guide you even in your prayer time? Are we allowing Holy Spirit to teach us? You know, if you show up in a classroom, the first thing that the teacher is going to say to you is, okay, everybody, pull out your books, pull out your laptops, and get ready to take notes. When we go into the presence of God, says, okay, pull out your books. Let's start studying. Let's see what it is that we're going to learn today. And we open up the Word of God. When we open up His Word, we allow Him to teach us. We study the Scriptures. We learn what it means when we see it written in context. There have been times where people have come to me and said, you know, I read this passage this week. What does this mean? My response often is, okay, let's look at that passage in its context. Because if I try and take that passage and expound on that, I'm not getting the full story. We need to look at the entire story. Right? Just a quick example. I heard a sermon one time that somebody did on John 3:16, which we know is a salvation scripture. But an individual took it and used it as a tithing principle. They said, for God so loved the world that He gave. See? God gave. You too should give. Now open up your wallets. This is not a tithing principle. So it's important to look at the passage and understand it in its full context. Let's get into the Word and study the Scriptures. Is your heart open to being taught and guided by Holy Spirit? This is particularly important when it comes to those deeds that I talked about. As we are more in tune with Holy Spirit and aware of what we are learning, we know the corrections that need to be made. When Holy Spirit says, you need to lay off Facebook, we start scrolling through, and our kids come, and they say, Dad, I need something. Yeah, can I just have 5 more minutes? Okay, and then they go away, and you keep scrolling. Dad, I'm hungry. Yeah, I told you, give me 5 minutes. Meanwhile, you look at the clock, and you've been there for another hour. Right? Sometimes we get lost in it. What is it that Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts? You know that particular item that is taking you away from Christ and putting it somewhere else. That in itself is idolatry. Anything that takes your mind off of Christ and puts it on something else is an idol. And if God has spoken into your heart about that particular thing, and you're now saying, no, it's okay, God, I got this under control, and you continue to do it, now it's become an idol in your life. Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts. It's important to remember that as Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to the areas requiring tweaking, changing, or correction, it is not intended for every single person. Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart about something that is important for you, and it's important that you adhere to those promptings. When you disregard the promptings of Holy Spirit and continue on doing these things, that's when the sin comes into our lives. We know that over the years we have had several items that have come into the church that people have labeled as sins. These were not actual sins, but the deeds that we spoke about. Because God opened up their eyes and said something for them to change. Or they went into Scripture and they misinterpreted Scripture. And this became this whole sin in the church. It's not the case. Sometimes God is speaking into our hearts. And because maybe we don't want to deal with the religious spirit that's inside of us, we try and cast it off onto other people. And say, oh, you should not be playing cards. Oh, you shouldn't go to the movies. Oh, you shouldn't ride your bike on Sunday. And we had all of these lists of sins. But these were simply deeds that we were doing that people took and said, these are what's called man-made sins. This is how legalism starts. When man takes a sin that God has spoken into their heart and they didn't want to correct, so they try and make this whole thing about it. When God challenges you on something, He isn't always intending it for every single person around you. He's intending it sometimes just for you. If you've grown up in the church, it doesn't take long to look back over the history of the things that we have deemed as sins. It was evident that we weren't allowing Holy Spirit to fully direct our thoughts. When someone helps me understand why they don't do a particular thing, I respect them for their decision. But I don't allow myself to be condemned by that. So if God is speaking to your heart about something that He's asking you to change, I want to respect that. I want to honor that. And I want to come alongside of you and support you. But that doesn't mean that God is saying that that's also a sin for me. This is when we are being taught by Holy Spirit. When we allow ourselves to be guided and become the sidekick, we allow ourselves to be mentored. Out of curiosity, how many people here in this room have an active mentor in their life? There's a few of you across this place. That's great to see. You've heard me speak several times about accountability and having a mentor. I've had the same mentor in my life for over 15 years. This individual is someone that is older than me, has great life experience. They've had a job in the secular workforce. They've served as a pastor. They have a solid family. He is somebody that I am able to talk to about whatever I'm going through, talk about plans, family concerns, ministry challenges, whatever it is, I'm able to go to this person. Each time we visit, I walk away knowing that I have been mentored. He doesn't tell me what to do, but through the questions he asks, he helps me to realize that I'm continuing on in the path that God has called me to go. He has the right to speak correction into my life. He ensures, and he'll ask me questions to make sure that I'm spending time with God, that I'm being continuously led by Holy Spirit. Are you being mentored by Holy Spirit? What moments have you gone through that perhaps you've questioned the presence of God? Perhaps after a decision has been made, you've gone back to God frustrated and wondering, God, where were you during this season? Have you treated these as teachable moments? Have you allowed Holy Spirit to mentor you and help you to learn what it is that you can from this experience? I'm sure we've all met those individuals that we think to ourselves, man, when will they ever get it? When will they finally learn? Sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, when will I finally get it? When will I finally learn? Where is Holy Spirit guiding you? As a final illustration for you this morning, I'm going to ask Daniela to bring Lisa Marie into the sanctuary. I have something up here for Lisa Marie, and I want you as a congregation to help her to get to this item, all right? So I'm going to stand over here. My microphone is, she has no idea where I am, so I want you as a congregation to help her get to me to receive this gift. Go for it. There you go. Thank you. So here's the thing. In our society today, and you just witnessed it, we have many voices trying to tell us which way it is that we are to go, don't we? I even had a gentleman over here trying to say, okay, people, we need one person telling her what she should be doing. And he even got drowned out by the sounds. But what I did notice is that the moment that Aaron spoke, she knew Aaron's voice, and she knew which way it was, and she knew that Aaron would lead her. This is how it is with Holy Spirit. With all of us, we have so many people, so many things telling us what it is that we should be doing. And we haven't learned the art of simply silencing the outside voices and listening to the one voice that we can trust. Are you taking the time to allow Holy Spirit to guide you? Allowing Holy Spirit to lead you, to mentor you, to teach you. When you know where it is that you're going, it frees you up to say yes or no. You know what has been put there as a distraction. Last week, I even shared how sometimes people will come along and they will use that term, I believe that God said, or they'll pull the God card. When you're listening to Holy Spirit, you will know the voice of God. The voice of God and the voice of man are different. It's about knowing the voice of God. Does God speak through people? Absolutely, He does. But it's up to us to be able to discern and know what is the voice of God and what is the voice of man. So my challenge to you this morning is to caution your heart against those distractions. How many distractions do we have come our way throughout a week? Even when I'm sitting to study, or I'll get ready to study and all of a sudden an email will come in and I'll question the email and it might even cause some anxiety and I just say, no, God, this is simply a distraction. And your word says that I'm to cast all my anxiety upon you because you care about me. And God, I'm giving this to you because right now you're asking for my attention as I go into your word. And I want to be able to hear and discern your voice. When we allow Holy Spirit to be our guide, we will be led, we will be mentored, we will be taught. I've asked Kelsey to lead us in this particular song. It's called Spirit Lead Me. It might not necessarily be a congregational worship song. Feel free, the words are going to be on the screen. You can sing along, you can stand, you can remain seated, but I'll come up and close after, and I just want to challenge you. I know that we've gone a little bit over time this morning, but I just want to, just for the next few moments, just take a moment and listen to what Holy Spirit is saying to you. Father, this morning we thank you that we are led by your Holy Spirit. Father, through these words, I believe that you have been speaking specifically into individuals' lives this morning. People that have been holding back, afraid to take that jump. Some people have been afraid to stop doing and just simply be in your presence. Father, you are the truth, the life, the way. And I pray for each individual this morning. I ask that they would allow their hearts to be led by your Holy Spirit. You are our guide. You will always lead us in the correct path. I pray for strength. I pray for confidence. I pray for boldness for individuals this week as they take that step of faith in the direction that you are calling them to go, and that they would have a greater sense of vision for their lives because their vision comes from you. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, and I thank you for what you are going to do in the hearts and minds of people all across this place. I pray that now as we go our separate ways or as we make our way down for coffee, that we as individuals would be led by you. Holy Spirit, be our guide. Holy Spirit, regenerate our hearts. Holy Spirit, give us the power that we need to walk with you on a daily basis. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.